This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another episode of The Life of Aisha, Mother of the Believers, radiyallahu anha, with me, your sister, Fatima Barakatullah. In the last episode, we experienced a glimpse into the life of love between Aisha, radiyallahu anha, and the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This time, we're going to look at the relationship Aisha, radiyallahu anha, had with the daughter of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Fatima. Aisha radiallahu anha was, of course, family to Fatima radiallahu anha. Of all of the daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Fatima was actually the closest to Aisha. The Prophet's daughter Ruqayya had passed away before Aisha moved in with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam around the time of the Battle of Badr. His other daughters didn't necessarily live with Aisha radiallahu anha, but Fatima radiallahu anha lived in the same house as Aisha radiallahu anha for a little while until Fatima married Ali radiallahu anhu. Aisha radiallahu anha even prepared Fatima as a bride for her wedding, and that really shows you how close they were. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us, she says, to prepare Fatima since she was going to marry Ali. We went home immediately and brought an amount of soft oil, which we spread on the ground. We filled two pillow sheets with fiber. Then we prepared bowls of dates and grapes and spring water to drink and placed a stake at one edge of the house for clothes, pots and pans to be hung. And she said, I have not seen a wedding better than the wedding of Fatima's. So Aisha radiallahu anha is just describing some of the things in their culture that they would do to prepare for a new bride and a new home, moving into her new home. And she's telling us in such an enthusiastic way, which really shows you how much she loved and respected and cared about Fatima radiallahu anha. Even after she got married, Fatima only lived a stone's throw away from the house of Aisha, with only a wall separating them. And this wall had, they say, a small kind of window or some kind of gap. And sometimes they would talk to one another from that window. When the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to complain to the Messenger of Allah about their feelings regarding people sending gifts to the house of Aisha, they asked Fatima to take their grievance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We mentioned that story last time. And when Fatima radhiyallahu anha conveyed their message to her father, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to her, "Oh my daughter, don't you love whom I love?" And she replied in the affirmative. So this affirms the fact that Fatima radiallahu anha had a love for Aisha radiallahu anha. And the reason why we emphasize and mention this is that there are certain groups or certain people from Muslim backgrounds who try to create this very negative narrative surrounding Aisha radiallahu anha and Fatima radiallahu anha, when in reality, you know, the facts, the ahadith, the authentic narration speak for themselves, and we see that actually they had a very good relationship. They were family. And Fatima radiallahu anha too respected Aisha a lot. Aisha likewise respected Fatima radiallahu anha. We see this is very apparent in the way they praise one another. One day, Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, who was the most beloved person to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And she immediately replied, Fatima. Aisha radiallahu anha describes the likeness of Fatima radiallahu anha to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She says, "I did not see anyone who looked more similar to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam than Fatima, in terms of the dignity and serenity of her behavior, the elegance and politeness of her mannerisms, and the way of walking her gait when she walked." When she entered upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to stand up for her. He used to kiss her and make her sit near him. When Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Fatima's place, she would do the same thing. Aisha also narrated hadiths from Fatima radhiyallahu anha and conveyed the hadith about the virtue of Fatima and Ahlul Bayt. Aisha also narrated a hadith about the virtues of Fatima radhiyallahu anha. For example, she narrated the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Fatima, "O Fatima, does it not please you that you will be the leading lady of the believing women, or the leader of the women of this ummah?" Aisha also had an intimate friendship with Fatima radhiyallahu anha, and Fatima used to confide in Aisha about some of the hardships that she faced in life. Ali radhiyallahu anhu narrates that Fatima went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's house to complain about the bad effect of the stone handmill on her hand. So, you know, Fatima radhiyallahu anha, she used to typically do so much hard work in order to just make bread and just, you know, do ordinary household chores, that her hands had become affected. It was very, very difficult. So she had heard that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had received some slaves. And so she wanted to ask her father for a slave in order to be able to help her in her household work. But she came to Aisha radhiyallahu anha's house, where the Prophet would have been, and he was not there. So what she did was she told Aisha radhiyallahu anha about her predicament, right? And Ali added, "So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to us when we had gone to bed. We wanted to get up on his arrival, but he said, 'Stay where you are.'" So obviously the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam must have come home, and Aisha radhiyallahu anha told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the predicament of Fatima radhiyallahu anha and whatever Fatima had confided in her, you know, about the difficulty that she was facing at home and how she wanted to request a servant. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come to Fatima's house. Fatima and Ali were lying in bed, and he told them not to get up. He said, "Stay where you are." Then he came, Ali says, he came and he sat between me and her, and I felt the coldness of his feet on my abdomen. So he was so close to them. He was sitting so close to them. And he said, "Shall I direct you to something better than what you have requested?" So in other words, better than a servant. And he said, "When you go to bed, say Subhanallah, glory be to Allah, 33 times. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, 33 times. And Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, 34 times. And that will be better for you than a servant." So this famous hadith tells us really about how close Fatima radhiyallahu anha felt to Aisha, because when she came to the house and her father wasn't there, she confided in Aisha. She also shared precious moments with our mother Aisha radhiyallahu anha. Aisha narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called his daughter Fatima during his illness, the illness after which he passed away. He called Fatima to visit him, and he told her a secret, whereupon she wept. And then he called her again, and he told her a secret, whereupon she laughed. And she says, "When I asked her about it, she replied, 'The Prophet spoke to me in secret and informed me that he would die in the course of the illness during which he died. So I wept.' He again spoke to me in secret and informed me that I would be the first of his family to follow him after his death. And upon that, I laughed. So what this shows us is, contrary to what some groups have rewritten into history, we can see that they had a beautiful relationship and sisterhood. Brothers and sisters, what you will notice and discover over this series as we look at the life of our mother Aisha radhiyallahu anha is that our mother Aisha was a woman of substance. We live in a time when women are either commoditized or pursued as consumers. The various pressures and industries that are constantly calling to us to be enslaved to them are insidious. The fashion industry, the music industry, the beauty industry, social media, all seek to influence us as women. And that is why it's so important for us to know our own principles, to know Allah's commands and prohibitions, and to have a strong relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there's nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us with except that it's good for us. And there's nothing that He has prohibited us from except that it is evil and bad for us. And when we study the lives of people like Aisha radhiyallahu anha, it reminds us of having that right attitude. Join me after the break and when we will continue to look at the life of our mother Aisha radhiyallahu anha. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. Before the break, I said that, you know, our mother Aisha radhiyallahu anha was a woman of substance. And I was highlighting how, you know, we live in a time when women are commoditized or we are pursued as consumers. And I highlighted that there were various pressures and there are various pressures in industries that are constantly calling on us as Muslim women to be enslaved to them. The fashion industry, the music industry, the beauty industry, social media, all seek to influence us as women. And I was highlighting that, you know, this is why it's so important for us to know about the great women of our past, women like our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. Because if the Muslim Ummah is to be revived, we need women who can resist the temptation to be materialistic, the temptation to being fickle and blowing hot and cold. We need women of substance who think, who have a deep understanding and motivation for the next life, not for the fleeting pleasures of this life. So when we study the life of our mother Aisha radhiyallahu anha, it reminds us of what our mindset should be like. Because this life is not forever, it's short. And our job is to navigate it carefully as believers. We will make mistakes, tragedies will happen, and harm may befall us. May Allah protect all of us, as it befell those before us. When we look at the life of Aisha radhiyallahu anha, we see a life with great happiness, but we also see that she experienced great pain. And we will go into that, inshallah, in future episodes. We see that people slandered her. We see that the Prophet ﷺ passed away. Her husband passed away when she was only 18 and she lived the rest of her life unmarried. She never had children of her own. She experienced emotions that we all experience, things like jealousy and, you know, a sense of competition. And, you know, all kinds of feelings that all human beings feel. But what we find is that even though she made mistakes, things that she considered to be mistakes, and at times she was regretful, what we learn is that, you know, how should we respond when those difficult feelings and those difficult times come into our lives? How do we recover from mistakes? And it reminds us that life is tumultuous. If you live long enough, you are going to have and experience the ups and downs of life. But how do we harness our personalities and our temperament, our inclinations towards what is right? Our Mother Aisha's life really highlights for us how we can do that and how we can keep bringing ourselves back to making the life hereafter our priority. One of the challenging experiences faced by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sometimes due to the sense of competition or the feelings of jealousy between the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The opening verses of Surah At-Tahrim describe to us an incident that took place. An incident in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited himself from something in order to please his wives. Aisha radiallahu anha tells us about this herself. May Allah be pleased with her. She tells us that what happened was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prohibited himself from drinking this special honey drink that he used to drink. What happened was that Aisha radiallahu anha and Hafsa, who is the daughter of Umar bin al-Khattab, who was also the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were feeling upset that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was spending more time with his wife Zainab on account of a honey drink that she would serve him. Okay, so he was obviously enjoying having this honey drink at her house, and they began to have feelings of jealousy because of that. So they secretly agreed to pretend to be offended by the smell of that honey drink, okay? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was very particular about smelling good, right? He always wanted to smell good. He never ever wanted there to be an offensive smell coming from him. He did this because of his own personal sense of cleanliness and hygiene, but also because of the angels, right? The angels like nice smells and they run away from negative smells. And also because he cared about his wives and how they felt about, you know, his appearance and his, his aura. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard that there was an offensive smell coming from him, he attributed it to that drink and he swore an oath never to drink it again. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not to prohibit what is lawful. Aisha reports that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in her own words, she says he would spend time with his wife Zainab bint Jahsh and he would drink a special concoction of honey. Hafsa and I agreed that whoever the Prophet would visit first would say to him, I notice a strong odor coming from you of a particular type of tree or a particular type of gum. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have taken a drink of honey at Zainab's house and I will not have that drink again. And this is when the verse of the Quran was revealed. Ya ayyuha an-nabiy lima tuharrimu ma ahallallahu lak tabtaghi mardata azwajik wallahu ghafurur rahim. Allah says, O Prophet, why do you ban for yourself that which Allah has made lawful to you, seeking to please your wives? And Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. And then the verse goes on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why are you making haram something that Allah made halal? And then the verses in Surah Tahrim go on, and Allah says that Allah has prescribed for you a way to dissolve your oaths, and Allah is your guardian, He is all-knowing, most wise. So Allah then told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to break this oath and to, you know, compensate for it in the way that we are told to compensate for our oaths. So this incident took place, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not to respond to his wives and, you know, any kind of friction that there was between them, not to allow that to stop him from doing the right thing, you know, from doing, from changing his way of life or making something that is halal, haram for himself, etc., etc. Now, you might be thinking, you know, how is it that the best women who ever lived had kind of these kinds of frictions going on between them, right? Well, you know, this again shows us that the wives of the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba, although they were the best of human beings and they are our role models and example, right? They were still human beings. They still had personalities. They still had, you know, idiosyncrasies even, right? And that doesn't mean that we can't learn from them. And it doesn't mean that they're angels, right? We need to not go to extremes when it comes to looking at the lives of other human beings, even if they are the Sahaba, the best of human beings. And instead, we should look at the ways in which they resolved those issues, right, that were between them. You'll also notice that, you know, it might seem as though the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this instant were kind of causing a type of annoyance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Well, there's a certain amount of leniency that was allowed for the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their relationship with him as wives, you know, that kind of husband-wife relationship, that really isn't allowed for other Muslims to have, right? Like other Muslims, us as believers, we wouldn't be able to, and we wouldn't kind of argue with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course we wouldn't. We wouldn't annoy Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in any way. That would be a very bad thing. It would be a very negative thing for any other Muslim to do. But there was a certain amount of leniency that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed when it came to his wives, due to that kind of very unique and close relationship that there is between husbands and wives, and the kind of natural feelings that develop, especially when, you know, a man has multiple wives. So again, just to highlight that they were human beings, but they were the best of human beings. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed certain things to happen so that then we could learn from those incidents, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal verses to correct Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam even. Why? So that we will learn from that and we could benefit from that. Another incident that took place, first of all, we need to kind of understand that in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, Abu Huraira reports that Jibreel alayhi salam, the angel Jibreel, once he was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, an angel has just come down that had never come down since the day he was created. And the angel said, O Muhammad, okay, this angel, he said, he gave a message to the Prophet Muhammad, O Muhammad, your Lord has sent me to you with the offer that I make you a prophet king or a servant messenger. I can make you into a prophet who is a king. Okay, so remember, the station of a prophet, a Nabi, is not as high as the station of a messenger, right? Messenger is obviously a higher station. So the angel is saying, you have a choice. You can either be a prophet who is a king, or you can be a servant and messenger. And Jibreel alayhi salam said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, be humble before your Lord, O Muhammad. In other words, he was indicating to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that the better choice was to be a servant and messenger. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, rather I will be a servant messenger. This story tells us how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose a life of simplicity. He he actually shunned the life of being a king, right? The status of being a king. And he chose a life of simplicity and even of very, very simple living. And inshallah, in the next episode, we will look at how this austere life that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose, how it affected the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and why it led to him giving them a certain choice and ultimatum. Inshallah, I will join you next time. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.